Turn over to Philippians again. Now we're gonna. Last time I spoke on Philippians chapter 4, we went over 1, 2, 3, and 4 a little bit quick, not just kind of an overview of those verses there, but there's a lot more in there that you've ever read a letter and you try to read between the lines a little bit, or even a book or something like that. And I believe the Word of God that God has given us is perfect, and He's given us everything of value that we need as far as our Christian lives, and He's just been good, so good to us. And I rejoice in I enjoy studying the book of Philippians. It goes along with many the other Pauline epistles. But you know what I didn't do? I was gonna pray for the Word of God, you know, when I prayed for the kids, but I didn't. So if you would, please. Father, thank you again for the Word this morning. We pray that you'd be with the Sunday school teachers, Lord, the ladies in the nursery, and thank you for the piano players. I'll be with Brother John in the next service tonight, and be with us here today now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. I just failed to. But anyways, we have a wanna starting on Tuesday. And I try to always give them, this is where we're going to try to work this year. And we have a couple. but the majority of us are what we would call floaters. And what it is, it's because we have Matt's he's doing games and then he's preaching, and myself. And then we've got Tom that does the same thing. And some of these ladies are going from here to there. And so really, I haven't done anything as far as that. I might throw out a little text that this is what it looks like we're going to do. But I'll tell you what, Awana is just like anything. You go in there, and then you just fill in where you can. You have a plan, but what do they say? Somebody told me, I think it was Terry, told me, he says, you know, there's always a plan until that first shot is fired. Yeah. And I don't know if that's always the case, but you got to be able to be fluid in what you're doing, and be able to make that decisions. But Wanna being one of the greatest, and I'll mention a little bit about that this morning, and I'm not beating the drum as far as, but it's a great opportunity to reach kids and reach even parents with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had our secretary, I think it was, somebody took off. We had the free babysitting on our flyer. I had to take that. I didn't like that. That free babysitting, because you never know what you're going to get on that. What they all need saved. They need all need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is a good opportunity, and we're very grateful for it. It is a commitment, just like every church service is a commitment. But that's the way it is we need to do the service. Doing service for the Lord Jesus Christ is coming about, and working in these different ministries, whatever it is, in the church, but it's not. It's just coming here and being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and sitting here in the pew and listening and rejoicing and singing, because it's mainly about worship of the Lord God and what He's done for us, and we can just thank Him. But we get in under the good stuff, the songs, and sometimes the preaching of the Word of God. So Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to we'll read down there in verse 1 again, and then I'll make some comments on this as we go down through. And now again, we're not going to go past I don't even know what verse it is. We'll stop in verse 7 today, because there's some great stuff in verse 8, and we won't harp on it long, but it's stuff that we know and that we should do every day, and we know how we should ask, because the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the what? The sons of God. And we are sons of God, and you know, it's too bad He didn't say, and no, I'm questioning the Word of God by doing that, but it would have been different as sons and daughters of God, something like that. But it doesn't matter. Every one of us, if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, and that the gender is male. And that's what it is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad for that. But in verse 1, it says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and my crown. Over in, it says that he that winneth souls is what? Wise. Now, we know that's Old Testament. It talks about the same application in the book of Daniel. But those who go out, what we should do, we're sheep of his pasture, and we know him, and he calleth us by name. And what, you know, sheep are for main. I don't care for mutton. Anybody had mutton or sheep before? You know, I'm just a beef and that kind of thing, and a little bit of elk and no deer, unless you make it into jerky and stuff like that. But anyways, mutton and lamb and all that to me is just it's just not my thing. And that, but it's for food, for wool, and for shearing the sheep, and then to what? Propagate, to make more sheep that the Lord God would be happy about that. So, well, that's the word of going into all the world and preach the gospel. But as therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, we went over that pretty good last time. But in verse 2, it says, I beseech you, Euodias and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, and if you think, we put that as ladies, and that probably is, but it doesn't really say. But the thing is, there's always going to be some kind of problem. Not always, but if you work together long enough, there's going to be problems. There's going to, because we look, you know, I work at it differently than others. Maybe one way, it's the way it is. It's just the way it is. If we were all the same, we'd just walk and roll like the robots do. But I was telling you here when I was thinking about it the other day. It says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And sometimes we, as far as one of the things of God and the things that we do with, I think that I could do it a little bit better than that guy could. That type of deal. And maybe you could, but I like it the way that guy's doing it better than the guy, way that I'm maybe not doing it. And the Lord God will bless these things in that. We need to be able to get on. We be of the same mind. I want to read you some verses. I already read these the last time, but in Romans 12:16, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And then 1 Peter 3, it says, finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be courteous. So we need to be, as far as Christians, be able to get along, no matter if we look at something different and that. And I've told you stories about that or accounts of stuff that we've seen over the years, how these how things go on and how things happen. And sometimes we have to just give up a few things to be able to get along with everybody else. And that's what I'm really glad I'm in this church, because I don't think I've had the only person really that I had any struggles with in my whole lifetime here was, and he would say the same of me because he's a type A and I'm a type D, was Chris Nemeth. And we had a few, you know, a few things go on because we worked closely together all the time. And we did stuff together, and he didn't see it like I did, and I didn't see it like he did. But what did we do? We got along, we didn't compromise, we just do what the Lord God wanted us to do and went on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can happen with any one of us that's here in this room. And I remember when I was in the Methodist church in Sheridan, there was two ladies, and I won't say their name, but the one that was an elder, but I won't say their name, and my mom. And she was a rancher's wife, and my mom was mom, and they fought like cats and dogs in the church. And they had a coffee at the end of the service. They had a coffee time where at the end of the service you went over like we did a little bit, and they had coffee and donuts afterwards. And boy, oh boy, you didn't want those two ladies in the kitchen together, because they went screaming and yelling and pulling hair and all that kind of stuff they could, and they never got along. And they went to the same church, both went to the Methodist church in Sheridan. And I just thought, man, oh man, it scared me to go over there and just see that, because that was my mom. I had never seen my mom like that before. And I bet you that there's probably a lot of things you ain't seen your moms and dads doing, probably a good thing. But anyways, I beseech Euodias, and I don't, if that ain't the way you say it, and tell me later. And beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, I'm going to take a little bit. We're going to just, the thing about the Pauline epistles, there's a lot of doctrine, and Matt's touching. There's quite a bit in the book of Romans and throughout Genesis and all the way up through there. But a lot of the Pauline epistles are just practical wisdom, just getting along with each other and just going on and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Apostle Paul, when he looked at his children in Christ, he looked at them and wanted to protect them like a father or like a mother even. And sometimes a mother is probably more protective than the father is. Why? Because they're around those kids all the time. The importance of a mother in a home is probably more important than a father in a home. Why? Because they raise those children up, and they take care of them, they teach them, and then when they go haywire, it's just after they get out of the house, and it's hard on moms. It's hard on dads too, but nothing like we were talking about that a little bit this morning. As our preacher, I said, can you blow your nose? No, I said, I asked if he worried much. And we all worry. There isn't a hand here. There's a person I can say, hey, you don't, honestly, I don't worry. Well, you're a liar, probably. And I say that respectfully because we all worry. And I worry about, can I tell you one I worry about? Is that little rental store right by Murdoch's down there. That worries me. Why does it worry you? Because it's just another thing in town, and it's just taking my money out of my pocket. Type, no, it's not. And that's where the guys work. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the what? The Lord. So the Lord will take for him. I haven't worried about it since that one day out at the shop. But, you know, the Lord's good. And when I started going to church here, I was about 135 pounds, and now I'm 200 and so many pounds. And God has taken care of me very, very well. And so we shouldn't worry about that. But when you think about these people, these two people that weren't getting along very well, let's go back up to chapter 2 and verse 18. Well, I'll tell you what, let's step over chapter 2. No, let's do 2:18 first there. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even what? Weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Where's Paul at this time? He's in jail. He's in prison at this time, and he can't go out and help these people like if he was there. You know, he's got to write a letter, and I'm sure he didn't have a cell phone in jail, and you know, that kind of thing, and just, hey, 2 minutes, you got to, hey, I'm just trying to encourage you, brother, stay in the fight. It took a while before that letter or whatever got to the church to be able to, but his main deal was to encourage the church at Philippi that they go on for the Lord Jesus Christ and go forward with the gospel and propagate the gospel to those around them. When we think about those two people that were having a lot of trouble there, there's problems sometimes in our Christian life. Now let's go ahead. Let's go over to back a little bit further. Back in chapter 2, over there in chapter 2, and start down in let's go to verse 19. So that I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But we know, but ye know the proof of him, Timothy, that as a son with the father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And you know, it didn't go very well for the Apostle Paul at that time. And he never did get to see him again. Yet I supposed it necessary, verse 25, to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion and laborer and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because thou hast heard he had been sick. Now, you know what happens to him, but he was really sick. He was nigh unto death is what the Apostle Paul said. But he took him to be a blessing. You know, he sent him up there just so they could see how he was and that he could see how the church of Philippi was doing. But I believe, you know, there's a lot of, I believe this just as much. He's the Apostle Paul, and those guys were human, just like you and I are. And had this human factor in the whole thing. But I bet you he worried about that. He worried about the people in Philippi, and he worried about their state. And, you know, that's one of the main things. There was an older lady over in Sheridan. I can't even think of what her name was. The old lady out there by Alder. Prayed for me for years to get saved. But anyways, she told me that, you know, the one thing she tried to instill in me after I got trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a lot of people out there trying to pull you away from the Word of God and get you into something that wasn't true. And boom, right off the bat, where as soon as they found out I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I had the Pentecostals and the faith healers and all that come out and try to teach me something more perfect, you know, as far as the Word of God. But I was, God, you know, the Holy Spirit, He helped you out with that. And He helped me out greatly with that and got me on and got a hold of the Word of God, and there it went real well. But when we think about these things, the Apostle Paul probably worried about the church, and I'm sure he did. I guess maybe when we get to heaven, he said, no, I didn't worry a bit about it. I was wrong. He didn't worry. But we all worry about different things. Now let's go ahead. Worry is the greatest thief of what? Joy. Joy. Worry will steal your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's the joy that we're saved, the joy that we have eternal life, and the joy that we have just able to come here and hear the Word of God and to be able to be around of you. The other day, it doesn't matter. TJ was here working on the windows and stuff, and I saw his truck. I came down to look and see how the guy did the spray, how the parking lot looked, and I thought, well, I got to stop in. So I stopped in, went over and sat down. He just stayed working, and I felt bad because he was working and I was sitting down, so I left. But it was just good. Boy, it helped my day just to be able to see him and just rejoice a few minutes in a brother in Christ, somebody that's saved and knows they're going to heaven, and just rejoice in the fact that we have an eternity with the Lord and we're going to be with each another in the Lord, in heaven, to be with Him. Now, I was thinking about this through we've got some verses to look at here. A whole bunch. We talk about worry being the greatest thief of joy, but something we forget about, I don't even think about this. Back when my mother, I was old enough, you know, there was quite a difference between a lot of years between my younger siblings and myself. And I was gone out of the house, and I was glad I was gone out of the house, because it was a bad deal at home. Dad was he was just like an alley cat. And my mom was a good man, or a good woman, I'm sorry. She was trying to hold the whole thing together. And some of my brother was older, and my others were younger, and some were really young. And what do? You move, you get out, you get married, still married, same lady, and have a good time. But you know what happened? When I got out of the house, I forgot about that stuff. Forgot about those two kids that were still left in that mess. That was Tony and Emily, especially Emily. Emily was just a little girl when I left. And I moved to the big town of Dillon and really didn't have a whole lot of communication with that side over there. And what are you doing? I'm confessing my fault before you guys today. It was bad, but it was just something don't do. You know, we learn by our mistakes. But anyways, after my mom died, we did the funeral and the whole thing. And then but years later, I had to leave Dillon. I didn't have to leave Dillon, but we left Dillon for a little bit and went over, and I saw my younger sister. And I apologized to her that I wasn't a better brother. And she gotten saved and everything. She started telling me stories about her and Tony. My mom worked three jobs, so she was never home. My dad was a dirtbag, and he never gave her any money or nothing like that. And she would tell me, Mom would work until about, she'd leave at 7 in the morning, get home at midnight. They'd walk to school and the whole thing. She was telling me about a couple of nights there were some thunderstorms, and I just started to cry. And they were so scared. They were just young. They went over and hid underneath the piano and put the piano bench in front of them, just cried until Mom got home at midnight. Just so scared and so worried because they had nothing else. And I could have been a better brother for them. I was here, I was saved, had a good job, and just doing my own thing over here, so I'm stuck over here doing, and I could have been a blessing, so I apologized to her, and she forgave me, she did, she was really good, she was very, we do a lot of texting now, and stuff we've never done before, but don't make the mistakes that us older ones have made. Here's another one. You know, we worry, our preacher worries, we all worry, but you know what, our kids worry. More so than we do. We've had a really good marriage, a great marriage. But do you think we've ever had odds, been at odds? Do you think we've had fights like every other parent has? Well, maybe there's some of you perfect ones out there, but better than I am. I'm not being sarcastic. But I was down in, after I got saved, I got the opportunity to go to, Brother Joe went with, went down to Chattanooga. Remember that, bud? We went down there, and do you remember Alan Jones? Don't remember him. But he said he was an old guy. His wife wore the, you know, the thing, the little bun, and she wore a hat, and she used to take her hanky, and when she'd get excited, she wouldn't say anything. She'd just like this, just a very classy old lady, mature lady. And he was up there, and he was up there speaking, and he made this statement, and he put it in one of his books, and I think it's in there. He not one time in his life did he ever see his kids never saw his wife and himself argue. Not one time. He says, did we argue? A lot, he said. But we always did it out in the car, driving down the road, out in the garage, or something like that, because he didn't want to see that. Other kids to see that, so why? So they would worry that mom and dad were going to stick together or something like that. And I've made that mistake, just as the Apostle Paul probably made some mistakes, and one of the greatest over in the Old Testament. That's the hardest thing. My grandson, just telling stories, my grandson one time, he wanted to go to the airport up here. They had that fly-in days, you know, up here where all these planes fly in, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to take Toby. We're going to go up there. And I got him. We went up there, and the guys were Lucas and Matt and stuff. They called me, and they were having the customer was out there, and they were kind of throwing a fit, and they didn't know what to do. And so it was, to me, it was kind of intense on the phone. And Toby went, grab, grab, grab. Let's go look at this. Let's go look at that. And I told him, Toby, shut up. I'm on the phone. He never said another word for 6 months to me. And finally, I just thought, what's going on here? And finally, Crystal told me, you know, what had happened. So I went and apologized to my grandson. And I didn't realize that how that, but she said, yeah, it made him sick to his stomach that his grandpa would yell at him like that. And so we, as parents and as grandparents, we've got to be careful of what we do around our kids. And because you talk about worry, I have one granddaughter. I have 4 granddaughters, so you can pick one of the 4, it's whatever. I can read her like a book. Boy, like I can tell when she's having a good day. I can tell when she's having a bad day. But I can really tell when there's something on her mind and she's worrying about something. And I'll try to get her to talk to just as we talk to the Lord or talk to those around us. And, well, you're not saying not a lot of scripture. No, but there's a lot of wisdom in the Word of God that we overlook. But I tried to talk with her, hey, baby, what's wrong? Come on, you can tell me. And I even got stern with her one day and said, baby, you need to tell me what's going on. And I knew she was worrying about something. She wouldn't do it. So I said, well, if you're not going to tell me, you tell the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he loves you, and she was saved, and he'll take care of you and watch over. We have struggles. We worry about stuff. But the thing is, you know what the collateral damage is? Is our kids, boy. I'll tell you what, so much more. I've tried to do a whole lot of different, don't think, got that little redhead great-granddaughter, and she about wear me out. And I want to say a lot of things, but I don't. Because why? Because I want to be a little kinder than I was to the other ones. All right, we'll beat that dead, we're done beating that dead horse for a few minutes, because we know what we should do. We know how we should act. Don't you get frustrated with your kids? And it's hard for the dads, because the dads, we come home from work and we're tired. I got a chair at work I just sit in. So if his brother had them, gave me a chair. It's one of those old depot chairs, and that's my chair. And I do sit in it once in a while. But anyways, we get home and we're tired and we really don't want to put up with the problems, and then we lash out. That's what we do. And the ladies, they've been around the kids all day, but protect your kids. Protect their minds, protect their everything. I don't care what it is. I still call my kid, hey, what are you doing? Where are you at? Why didn't you call? And they're 40-some years old. But why? Because we're always a parent. The Apostle Paul, he was a parent of those people that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Philippians. All right, go back to Philippians chapter 4. All right, in verse 4, so we need to watch our mind, be in the same mind in the Lord. And here's one more example. I was watching one of our resident carpenters, and we have two carpenters. They like to work by themselves a lot, and that's a lot of that, and I understand that. But sometimes you can get things done where I know this one carpenter, he has his boy with him, a lot work with him, and I'm sure they can get more done with two, right? And it's always one guy's up on the ladder, the other guy's on the floor because they're working together and they're doing these things. But it says in verse 3, and I treat thee also true what? True what? What is a yoke? How many's in a yoke? Two. That's right. Can one ox pull a yoke made for two? Oh, probably could, but it'd be hard to do. Yeah. They had some out at the Matador. I remember hanging on the wall and stuff, different types of yokes and stuff like that. And they had single yokes, and then they had some double yokes. But when you get in there, you got to have two work better. It's just like a threefold cord cannot be broken. And it's like that. But I was out there building the house up here up on Sweetwater, great big home. And I went down there and had to drop off a piece of equipment down there, and I watched them a little bit. And they had two guys on scaffolding, full length of the house. And they were putting siding on, two guys on each set. And they had one guy on the ground, and all he did was cut. And I watched this guy, he took it over, and that guy, over there, and just back and forth and back and forth. And I came back at the end of the day to get that lift. It was all done. Why? Because they knew how to work together just as we need. We need to be, they were the same mind. And we can have examples like that at all the time. So just try to be in the same mind. All right. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those what? Women which labored with me in the gospel will command also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, when we think about that, we have Awana. Now, I'm not pushing. Not everybody has to work at Awana. It's just a good opportunity to get the gospel out to those around us, and I've enjoyed it for a long time, and it's a good time, and we can reach those kids. But if we didn't have the women of this church, we couldn't have Awana. Yeah. Why? Because they're faithful, and they ought to reach those kids. And, you know, if it wasn't the guys, we could probably still have Awana. There's not that many of us guys in there. But the deal is we can work together for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that even goes with that, even in the Bible conference. You know, this year was a tough year. It really was. Because the bulk of the work was done by the older ones in the church, the bulk of it. There was a lot of young ones that helped, but the bulk of it was done, and I hope that next year it's a little different on that, and I think it'll be a little different, that we'll have more, a lot of stuff. What do? You just quit doing everything because you can't do it. You don't have enough. But the way we've got it set up now, the way the brother, our preacher, set up the Bible conference, I wish we'd have done that years ago, because, man, it just was just like that, and it was on fire, and the preaching was great, and even the preacher said this is probably one of the best camp meetings that they had been. It's God's blessing on us, and rejoice. But help us to work together, get in the yoke and work together for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can help each other. Yesterday I came down here, was just finishing up a few things out here on the asphalt, and there was two older ladies, two middle-aged ladies, and then two younger ladies. And they were in here working and just cleaning. So be nice. And I thought, boy, what a blessing. Get this place clean for us so we can come in and hear these guys and sing the songs of Zion. But it said over there to be fellow laborers in the Lord and yoke fellows. Get in the fight, get in the battle, and we are. It doesn't have to be in Awana. It doesn't have to be in youth. Just get in it together, and we can work together and have a good time. All right, now, when we're talking about that, look down there. It says there at the end, it says, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and we talked about Clement last time, with other of my fellow laborers, many of us not even named, whose names are in the book of life, though. And you could sit there, and I don't know if the preacher did or what. I didn't go back and look on sermon audio, or maybe Travis did. We talked about the different books in heaven. But there's different books. My name is written down in the book of life. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said, even over there in Luke chapter 10, he said that the disciples' names were written in heaven. I didn't say it was written in the book, but he said written in heaven. I bet you it's in that book, maybe, in the book of life. Over in Revelation chapter 20, and you can read that on your own, but Revelation chapter 20 is a hard one, boy. That last 10, 11 verses, a hard, hard, hard scriptures on what's going to happen to the ones that don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ and then haven't believed and trusted in him in the matter of salvation and know for sure that they're going to heaven. We were in the jail last, and I'm not bragging, this is not bragging, the jail last week, and I came in, and they said, well, we're going to have three different services. Three different services. But we just broke it up in 20-minute intervals and that, but a lot of people out there seeking. They're hoping that God hears what most some of them are doing. They're hoping you go in there, that they hear the word of God, and God is going to deliver them from their troubles and the things that they're in there for, and they're justly in there for a reason, some of them probably. But he may not do that right off. But he'll give you a home in heaven so you know that you have eternal life. And you, if you're like Paul and die in prison, he knew that where his ending was going to be, and that's in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the book of life, and here's just three. I just grabbed three quick ones out of the, and there's the book of life over in Revelation chapter 20, and here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. And then there's the book of remembrance, and that is mentioned over in Malachi 3 in verse 16. And we won't look at them. And then there's the books of judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Terrible, terrible thing. And hard that. And if you're here today and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and what do you mean by that? Well, Jesus Christ loved us enough to die on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again what? The third day, and believe that, and that only to get to heaven. And we know that. That's second hat to us. But there's a lot of people that don't know that. A lot of kids that are going to come to one. A lot of kids that are going to come to you that don't know that they have eternal life. I've watched over the years in Awana, you watch the parents, how their parents interact with the kids sometimes. And, you know, there's a lot of those kind of times, a lot of those kids that have come to Awana come for comfort, because parents don't care about them. We had an issue here a while back. I think it was last year, year before. But one of the young girls had kind of sprained her ankle in game time, and it was hurting pretty bad, and it's even swollen up a little bit. And we had her sitting down, and she said, "I'd like to go home." And we couldn't get a hold of the mother. Finally, the mother called me back. I'd called on my phone and called her back. And so-and-so is, you know, she'd like to come home, and told her the whole deal. And she said, "I'll be there. What time's Awana over?" And I told her, she says, "That's when I'll be there, not a minute sooner." And I thought, man, oh, man, oh, man. And the kids that come to church or come to Awana and even come to church, and you can watch them. You got to watch them. I watch them. I'm a watcher boy. I like to see what those kids are doing and that. Have you ever seen those? And I know you have, but you've got your daughters. They do. They're just like conjoined twins. They are twins. But where you see one, you usually see the other, right? That's just the way it is. But the other one, the little one, she's not that way. Her bigger sisters will take care of her, but she's always flitting about. But you watch those kids that are standing. Kids outside our church that are coming in there, and you'll have the bigger sister or the bigger brother who's standing next to them, the little sister or the little brother. Why? Because they're protection. And they're because they are scared, and they're worried about, mom and dad just dropped me off. Not all the mom and dads are that way. But it's a great opportunity. What do we need to show them? The love of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and show them out of the book that's in front of us how that the only way you're going to get to heaven is through him and him alone, and he can give you some comfort. That's what kids want, is comfort. They want to do that. They don't come to me for comfort much. They always go to grandma. Why? Because she's better at it than I am. And she gives them lots of toys. She don't. She don't. Well, what is the difference? What is it? It's good to have you girls down from school and stuff. Yeah, it's amazing. It's good to have you back. Things are going well? Just shake your head, yes. Good. That's good. Well, it's good to see them back. Part of the family leave, but they always come back. You always come back home. Where's the other one? Oh, she's over. She ain't even listening. But she's back with us. Good to have you here, Becky. No, she's razzing her. She can take it. It's all good. All right, back over in Philippians. It's chapter 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. And we talked about that. And we have more to get up in the morning. I tell you what, it's hard sometimes to get up in the morning. And Ralph and I were talking one day out there at the house. And what do you got to do? You know, you get there, and we get there. And I didn't, not until a few years ago, did I ever have this trouble. And just stay here for 20 minutes, and then get up. You look around, see if anybody's looking, because you're gonna have to go like that. And then you got to stand there, don't you? Yeah, and let the stuff get down in the leg so you can get going again. But the thing is, I can still get up, and I can still go. And the Lord Jesus Christ is, I'm better than Greg Rognes was, who spent 50 years in a wheelchair over at the nursing home, but got saved. And just rejoiced in the fact that he was going to heaven. Anybody see his funeral thing? Somebody showed me. He died about 2 years ago. Yep. It was right after COVID, about a year after COVID. I went in there to see him many times, but they wouldn't let me in. And I'll get to see him because he went to sleep. Then he had legs and the whole thing and the wheelchair and that. But he probably had one of the best attitudes of any man that I knew, even though he was in the shape that he was in. Had to be fed, everything had to be done for him. But he was just, he'd start crying, just rejoicing the fact he was saved and going to heaven. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. All right, let's look over here. It says, let your moderation, verse 5, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And we know the Lord is at hand, the way the world's going and all that stuff. So we talked to the young lady over there with, she thought about the radio or the rodeo, and she said it was amazing. That's cool. Yeah, that's really cool. It's, you know, we've been born up around it and all that, but I bet you if I went over where you lived, that there'd be a lot of things amazing to me. It's a whole different culture and all that, but I'm glad you had a good time. I really am, because it's, there's a lot of good stuff, but he says, let your moderation is known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The only verse in the Bible that says moderation, uses the word moderation in that. And when it talks about that, and we read the verse over in 1 Peter, you can look at it later, but we need to have a false, it says a false balance is abomination to God, but a just weight is what? His delight. Everything justly and right and in our moderation. And you know what? I've heard this, I got this, and most of the guys that, I've got friends that use that for, to justify their drinking. You know, I only have one drink, or I only have until I start to get a buzz, and then I quit. And, well, yeah, I could have that, but I'm, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're not to be drunk with much wine, or in the wine in excess, however that goes. I could butcher a bunch of more verses, but we won't do that. And there's just certain things you know that it's wrong to do. And we go on, but moderation in what we eat, moderation in what we do. And even the Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 9, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Sometimes we have to change our strategy, be a little different fisherman, to try to reach somebody with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they look at that, but let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. People ought to know that you're a Christian. People ought to know that you're saved and going to heaven, that you're not going to do those things that they do. When I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't have a lot of outside friends, but the ones that I had, they were no longer my friends because I wasn't going to do what they were going to do. But I've got friends that stick closer than a brother here today. And one's on the phone that I know I could call if I had help. Throughout the United States of America. The balance in the Christian life is so important. Balance in the Word of God, balance in our life. But so many times We go after the world and the things of the world that we should not be seeking out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I know I told a lot of these stories this morning and stuff, but we need to think about our future and as far as what we're doing for the ones around us. I've probably got 10 or 15 years left, and what I'm going to try to do it here and finish my course here. But I want to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're worried, we need to put our faith in him. When we're worrying about stuff, I still worry about stuff. But like our preacher said, if there's nothing you can do about it, what are you worrying about? And that's the truth. We give it to the Lord and then go on for that. But help us, help us, help us. God will help us. We just trust him and trust in his holy will, trust in the word of God, and there's just so much that we could do better at. I could do better at that. For those in the generations coming up. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray that you help us in the next service, just to rejoice in your word and thankful for what it has for us and the common day-to-day stuff that help us to try to live a good, godly life before men and before you. So bless in the next service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed for about 15, 16 minutes. Thanks for coming out.